lesson is from the book of Job, chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 118. It's on page 4 of your bulletin, and we'll read it responsively. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord exalts.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live.
And recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Alleluia, the gospel of our Lord. Here tonight because we've got so many beautiful kids here. Look at them all. Come on up. Yeah, you can come up. Mom can come with you. That's okay. Yeah, we got lots of room here. Good to have all of you kids. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Write it in stone. Right? Written in stone. You know, there's lots of ways we can write, isn't there? You can maybe use a pencil, and the pencil maybe has an eraser on it. So if you write the wrong word or letter, what do? You erase it, huh? You can do that really easy with a pencil. You can use a marker. And if it's a washable marker, and you go, "Oh, no, all over my white robe." What can you do if it's a washable marker?
Wipe it off.
Wash it away, right? But what if something is written in stone? Then what do we do, huh? Yeah, it's permanent, like maybe an ink pen or a permanent marker, right? I've got some things here about with me tonight. These are all rocks. And I brought some rocks, some stones with me, because when Easter first took place, the stone in front of Jesus' grave was rolled away. And in the Bible, you know who the rock is? In the Bible, over and over again, it says that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. So I brought some rocks with me. You see what this says? Emmanuel. Yeah, a friend of mine up in Little Falls, Minnesota, Brad and Peg Bellamy, they wrote this in stone. They engraved it into the stone. You know what this is? Can you see what that picture is? It's a good shepherd, and what is the good shepherd holding?
A lamb.
A lamb. Do you know who the good shepherd is? You know. Who is it?
Jesus.
He says, "I know my own, and my own know me." So Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is our Emmanuel, and he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And then I had one more stone over there on that bench. It's a heavy one. And it says Emmanuel, because what does Emmanuel mean? Anybody remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. Can you say it? God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, and it's written in stone. Just like Easter, God has taken Jesus and his love for you. And he doesn't write his love for you in pencil so that it can be erased. God writes his love for you, and he covers you with his love. And he does it in stone. That means it's permanent. Will you pray with me? Let's do a repeat prayer, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for writing your love all over me. Hallelujah. You are risen indeed. Amen. Thanks for coming up. First Parish in Lake Lillian, Minnesota, I got acquainted with an old maroon hymnal called Hymns for Praise and Service. And they taught me a lot of the old gospel songs. And growing up in the American Lutheran Church and not the Lutheran Free Church, I didn't know some of these hymns. So the way it works in parish life is that you share the gospel with God's people, and God shares the gospel with you through his people. So this hymn is called He Lives. You might recognize it. And I'm going to sing the verses. And if you know the chorus, sing the refrain with me, okay? Add your voices to the hymn of praise. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us Jesus, your only begotten Son, and filling us with your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks and praise for the certainty of Easter. Because He lives, we shall live too. Gracious Father, this is what we know, and we ask that you would give us the voices to praise you and to proclaim the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you know? I mean, if something surprising, unexpected happens, like Mary Magdalene going on Easter morning to the cemetery while it's still dark and the stone's been rolled away and the body has been stolen? Or so she assumes. What do you know? Or someone might simply ask you the question, you're pretty smart. What do you know? I mean, it's a good question. What do you know? Well, when Paul wrote his letter to the church at Corinth, especially chapter 15, which is about resurrection and Easter and the certainty of our hope. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you know, many of them in Corinth were a bunch of know-it-alls, or so they assumed. What do you know? Well, we know everything. What is it you want to know? But I'm guessing that if you're like me, and someone says, what do you know? You might say, not that much. Really, not that much. There's a whole bunch of others that are a lot smarter than me. I remember saying to my daughter Rachel once, after I'd seen the movie Forrest Gump, there's a marvelous line in that movie. There's lots of them, I suppose. But I love the line when he says to Jenny, you know, I'm not that smart, but Jenny, I know what love is. And I said that to my daughter, Rachel. She said, well, Dad, I suppose that's a pretty good, important thing to know, what love is. So what do you know? Well, the older I get, the less I know for sure. But there's one thing I do know for sure that is well documented, that is not only just credible, but it is for certain. In fact, even those who don't believe or don't want to have faith in Jesus or trust in the gift of Easter, even some of those scholars will say, you know, it's irrefutable. What's irrefutable? What's written in stone? That Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and that he rose on the third day. That's undeniable. Historians, the facts are all there. Now, to believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he died for your sins, that he is in fact the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the one who holds in his hands the keys to death and Hades, to believe that he's the good shepherd who laid down his life for you, and that you're one of his lambs, and no one can snatch you out of his hands, to believe, to know for certain that he's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, and that death for us, which is the last and final enemy, has been defeated on the cross. And the triumph of God's victory is declared on Easter morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we know that for certain. Not because we're a bunch of know-it-alls, but because God has placed within us the gift of faith through his Holy Spirit to believe that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. He lives within my heart. How many of you know the name Harry Houdini? Anybody recognize that? He died in 1926 on October 31st, which some people would say Halloween, and others would say, the eve of Reformation, All Hallows' Eve. Harry Houdini, if you don't recognize the name, was an escape artist. He was an illusionist. He was a magician. I mean, he was world famous. They could not create a chain or handcuffs or any kind of embodiment. They couldn't lock him up from which he couldn't escape. His major thing was when they would hang him upside down in all kinds of chains, submerged in water, and he'd have to get himself free. I think they called it something like the Chinese water tank. One time he was under that water for 3 minutes. I couldn't do it. I can't even stand under water for a minute. I can't hold my breath that long. It was absolutely amazing. But old man death caught Harry Houdini on October 31st, 1926. And his beloved wife, Bess, was beside him, and he said to her, I'm going to do my best to escape this one too. And when I do, I'm going to come back on the anniversary of my death. So you can always watch for me. And she had his picture in her living room, and she had a candle by it that she kept lit all the time. And she waited for 10 years. But Harry Houdini never came back, because death was not something that the great escape artist could escape from. What do you know? death is not something that we can escape from either. Unless, of course, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. For he has defeated death and made of it a comma and not a period at the end of the sentence. In Christ, we can proclaim with Job. Hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, Job, the classic sufferer, had this to say: I know that my Redeemer lives. And when my skin is rotted away, in my flesh, I will see my Redeemer. I'll see him. I'll behold him with my own eyes. I'll see him face to face. That's what Job says in the midst of all of his suffering that he never gets an answer for other than Jesus, his Redeemer. Do you see what he's proclaiming? He's prophesying hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the incarnation and the crucifixion on Good Friday and Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. He didn't say, well, I hope, or maybe, or I wish, or I think that my Redeemer lives. You hear what he said? I know. Now, here's one of the problems we have in America with knowing. We think that knowing is all about how many degrees we have, right? How much stuff we get up here. And if we start to lose the stuff up here, we think, oh my goodness, I must not know much anymore. But in the Bible, the word is yada. It means to know. It means to have a relationship. You see, knowing in the Bible is a relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the triune God. That is what Job, in the midst of all of his undeserved, unexplained suffering, he's blameless, he's upright, he fears the Lord, he stays away from evil, and yet he has everything and loses everything, his health, his wealth, his children. You remember what his wife said? Why don't you just curse God and die? And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin. Shall we receive good at the hands of God and not also evil? That's what Job says. And then in chapter 19, our first reading for tonight, we hear the prophecy and the proclamation. It shouldn't surprise us. Our psalm for tonight, Psalm 118, you heard it on Palm Sunday. So Psalm 118 was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. And we had it a week ago last Saturday, and we have it again tonight. You see how it brackets Holy Week? And Martin Luther's favorite verse in the whole Bible, it might surprise you. What do you know? Psalm 118, verse 17. I will not die, but I will live and recount the deeds of the Lord. That's amazing. I will not die. Well, of course, we're mortal. But death didn't have the final word for Jesus. And death does not have the final word for us either. By faith in Christ alone, through the grace of God, we know that our Redeemer lives. Now, it may seem like a small thing to you, but lives is a present tense verb. Lives is a present tense verb. It's not just that he lived, or that sometime in the future we'll anticipate a living. He lives right here, right now. I will not die. I will live and recount the deeds of the Lord. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians in his resurrection chapter, and he says, I want to share something with you. In fact, here's what I'm going to do. Because it's written in stone, I'm not going to play fancy free with it. I'm going to deliver to you, Paul says, what was first delivered to me. And you remember Paul, right? He's the one that persecuted the church, the people of the way. He tried to destroy the followers of Jesus. That's one of the reasons why historians say there's no reason that Paul, a historical figure, would have become a proclaimer of the gospel unless what he said was true. Why in the world would the disciples have all died martyr's death if it was just a hoax or a joke? There's nothing more credible than Easter, my friends. Nothing. Don't let the Satan or the world, don't let them deceive you. Paul says, I'm going to share with you what was shared with me. Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And he was buried, and in accordance with Scripture, on the third day, he rose again. Now, there were a bunch of naysayers 2,000 years ago. They said, we don't believe it. Or maybe he appeared to die on the cross. Or maybe it was a substitute or something. And Paul says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is a joke. And if Christ has not been raised, you're not going to be raised. I mean, welcome to the bad news, folks. The wages of sin is death. You've got nothing to look forward to. If Christ has not been raised, you're dead meat. Because if Christ has not been raised, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep, you're not going to be raised either. And then Paul, he gets out that engraving tool and he just pounds an exclamation point. It's beautiful. But in fact, Christ has been raised. He's the first fruits of those who fall asleep. And that's all that death is for us now that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. That's what we know. So when someone says to you, what do you know? You say, well, have you got a couple of hours? Because there's a lot that we know through the Bible. I mean, that's why we're going to read it from Matthew through Revelation, from 5 a.m. until midnight on Easter Monday, so that we can proclaim that good news, so that we can honor the resurrected one. St. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Should have had a trumpet here tonight, huh? That would have been right on the money, huh? You know? Wouldn't that have been great? At the last trumpet, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're all going to be changed. Because, Paul says, the perishable has to take on imperishability. The mortal has to take on the immortality. And then shall come to pass what is written. Ha, did you catch that? And then shall come to pass what is written. And I would add, in stone. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we've got the victory. That's why we're Easter people. That's why we don't listen to the nonsense of the world. That's why we say to the world with Martin Luther 500 years ago, my favorite verse is going to be Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but I will live, and I will recount the deeds of the Lord. Mary did it. Mary Magdalene, you know she had 7 demons cast out of her? You remember what Mary Magdalene did? She went all by herself while it was dark out to the tomb. That's what John says. And she believes that the stone is rolled away because of grave robbers. She runs as fast as her feet will carry her. She tells Peter and she tells the beloved disciple John the bad news. They all run as fast as they can to the tomb, and they believe because they see that the tomb is empty. For as yet, they did not remember that it was necessary for the Christ to rise on the third day. See, people are not going to remember if someone is not there to tell them.
You have to have someone to tell them the good news, that this is not a joke. It's not a hoax. This is for certain. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You don't want to believe it? I guess that's your choice. I can only tell you what I believe and what the Lord has made known to me. I know Jesus, but more importantly, Jesus knows me. What do you know? Well, Mary stays at the tomb. And two angels say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then she says, "Well, they've taken away my Jesus. Can you tell me where?" And then she turns around and she thinks it's the gardener. She thinks it's the gardener. Sounds like Genesis and the beginning. "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" "They've taken away my Jesus. Can you tell me where he is so that I can take him?" She wants to hold on to a dead corpse. But God has something way better than that for her. Jesus speaks her name, Mary. And she knows. It's Jesus. She clings to him, well, like Katie Luther would say 500 years ago, like a bird to a velvet dress. And Jesus says, "You can't keep holding on to me. I got things to do. But you got things to do too. You got to get out there and tell people the good news." What do you know? "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It is written in stone." God has written his love all over us and in us and through us. You may recall, if you were alive in January of 2000, that Time magazine honored the man of the century, Albert Einstein. And is that right? Albert Einstein? Albert Schweitzer. Oh, man, does that ever happen to you? Who remembers that? You ever have that time when you say, "I'm not sure if I know this," but let's just say Albert, a great physicist. He was on his way from Princeton on a train. You know this story. And Billy Graham is telling this story about Albert while he's being honored in Charlotte, North Carolina. He said, "I'm battling Parkinson's. I'm not really good at speaking these days." They said, "That's okay. We just want to honor your faith in Jesus, your holy work in Jesus. Just come." So he's telling the story about Albert from Princeton on the train. And the conductor comes. In those days, they had a little punch thing. You had to punch your ticket. He gets to Albert, and Albert, he looks in his vest, he's going in his pockets, he's looking in the next seat, he's looking in his briefcase. The conductor says, "That's okay. We all know who you are. I know who you are. That's okay. You don't need to worry about your ticket." And the conductor goes down the hall, the center aisle there, and then he sees that Albert is back there, and he's digging under his seat, looking for his ticket. He goes back and said, "I told you, you don't have to worry about your ticket. We all know who you are." And Albert said, "I know who I am. I just don't know where I am going." Billy Graham told that story, and then he continued. You see what I have on? It's a brand new suit. He said, "My wife, my kids, my grandkids, they're all on my case because I'm not taking care of my attire very well these days. So I went out and I bought a new suit for this luncheon and for one other occasion, which I bet you can guess what it is. They're going to bury me in this." And when you hear that Billy Graham has died, I don't want you to remember my new suit. I want you to remember this. I know who I am. I know whose I am. And by the grace of God, I know where I'm going. Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
And it is written in stone, and you know it. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for our hymn of the day. I know that my Redeemer lives.